Blog Talk Radio.
This ain't no ordinary world. This ain't no ordinary song. The gospel is greater than the ordinary. So I'm going to give up all I have to this world.
This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary worship. This ain't no ordinary song. This ain't no ordinary broadcast. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We are truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We just thank God for his word. And Heavenly Father, we come thanking you for this day because it's a day that we've never seen before. And it's more time that we can acknowledge who you are. And it should give us more time, Father God, to realize who you are and whose you are. So we come with thanksgiving in our heart because your word says in everything give thanks. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, first of all, for your word, because in your word, Father God, is where we learn that we have recovered, that we are reborn again, that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus, and the old things are passed away. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father God, that we can look to you now for guidance, for direction. I thank you, Father God, that we have a high priest in Christ who's seated at the right hand, who's in the sanctuary, the true sanctuary. I thank you, Father God, that the more we study your word, the more we realize, Father God, despite the days of difficulty that lies ahead, we thank you, Father God, that we're no longer lovers of self. We're not lovers of money. We're not boasters. We're not disobedient. We're not reckless. But, Father God, we're submitting ourselves unto you, that the thing that we'll care about is your things, Father God. We hear what your word says, Father God. Our hearts are pure before you. We ask you, Father God, if it's anything that's not like you, to take it out. And I know you're awesome. I know you can do it, Father God. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus and applying the blood over all these different situations. I apply the blood right now, Father God, to homes, Father God, who have confusion in there. I apply the blood right now, Father God, over those that are confused and those that, Father God, that are seeking. I bind everything that would hinder your work from going forward. I thank you, Father God, that we're everything your word have decreed and declared that we are. I pray, Father God, for this nation. I pray that they become a nation of obedience because your word have declared, Father God, that if they would become a nation of obedience, Father God, what you would do. I saw in your word, Father God, that it says that we are a blessed nation. You know why? Because your word decreed and declared that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people who he have chosen for his own inheritance. Father God, I ain't speaking for everybody, but I thank you that we are a blessed nation. I decree that and declare that, that you have blessed this nation, Father God. And I lift them before you. And I say, as they go and understand their glory today, let them understand the glory that you've given us, Father God, as a nation, and we are to make God our Lord, which is Christ. I thank you for it. Those, Father God, that would like prayer predicated on the word of God, we put ourselves in agreement with that. These and all blessings we ask in Christ's name, and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Everybody agree to say amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to pretty much pick up where we left off at. We're talking from the book of Hebrews, and I've shared this with you all, and I'm going to continue to share it at such a time as this. There's injustice being done to God, brothers and sisters. I don't know if y'all know that or not, but there's injustice being done to the Word of God and to Christ because they're not giving him what he do. He is Lord. And he needs to be respected like that, especially by you church folks. Need to recognize that he's a minister of the sanctuary and then believe that and live that. So today we're going to talk about a few scriptures pertaining to that this week. Most of all, we want you to see that the vision that God has given me is to teach the people that he wants them, call along with me, not just not me, but all of us, to get the true believers, not anybody, but true believers, mind focused on this, on the sanctuary where he's ministering. So in Hebrews 8, we'll go with the foundational scripture, then we'll get these scriptures. Hebrews 8, okay, praise God. Got a couple people enjoying us. Okay, Hebrews 8. 1 and 2 says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the song. We have such, I want y'all to hear this, we have, all of us have such a high priest who is sit on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Pastor if she'd like to read it from the Messenger Bible.
Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen, amen. And thank you, Pastor, for that beautiful prayer. Amen. From the Message Bible, Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. In essence, we have such a high priest, authoritative, right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. Amen.
I want to encourage those of you that do not have this revelation on the sanctuary. Do a study.
Mm-hmm.
That you are spiritual now. You're spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And I get this revelation, brothers and sisters. You are spiritual now. Stop seeing things in the flesh. See it in the spirit.
All right.
God decreed this. He declared that. We have a high priest. Ask yourself a question. Do you have a high priest? And if so, are you allowing him to do a high priest work in your life? Not just saying that. I'm talking about doing it, partaking, engaging in that. If you don't have this revelation, I pray that you will get it. Because the Bible says that... And let me tell you this, because you're not going to get no second chance. I don't know who told you that big lie. You're not getting a second chance to live it again, not here. So let's go ahead and get this church thing right. Church isn't where you meet. Church isn't a building. Church isn't what you do. See, I could say sanctuary, but I want to make sure everybody understands. Church is who you are. Church is the human outworking of the person of Jesus Christ. So let us not go to the sanctuary. Let us be what the Word of God called us, and that is this church. I'm going to start with proving the fact that Christ is a high priest. And if he's a high priest, make it real. Make it real.
All right.
Make it real. If he's your high priest, that's if you've been risen with Christ. Seek those things above, where Christ seats on the right-hand side. Put your affection on things above and not on things beneath. So we're going to start with the very fact that proving what the word declare you are. The word declare that you are in 1 Peter. There's a lot of scripture in 1 Peter I like. 1:3 says this. 1:3 says this. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto life, or lively, a hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's gotten us. We've been born again by the word of God.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. What a God we have, and how fortunate we are to have him, this Father, our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts now. Amen.
Yeah. And 1 Peter 2 and 5 says this. Ye also, as lively stone. I want you to see this building. I want you to see what it's built of. You need to know what sanctuary you're in. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, present yourselves as building stones for the construction of a sanctuary vibrant with life, in which you'll serve as holy priests, offering Christ's approved lives up to God. The scriptures provide, present. Look, I'm setting a stone in Zion, a cornerstone in the place of honor. Whoever trusts in this stone as a foundation will never have cause to regret it. To you who trust him, he's a stone to be proud of. But to those who refuse to trust him, the stone that the workmen throughout is now the chief foundation stone. For the untrusting is the stone to trip over, a boulder blocking the way. Amen, amen.
You are a lively stone. That's what we are. We are a built spiritual house. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be offering, see, just like you go to a natural church, which was the first church that God showed Moses, was to be a type of what was to happen when Christ comes. That's what he was showing it. So what the book of Hebrews does, it teaches us about God's plan for salvation. That's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it teaches how all these people die in faith, believing that promise, believing in God's salvation plan. So that's what the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews talk about. When he talks about faith, these people die, have not yet seen the promise. They're talking about seeing faith or having faith in Christ, in the heavenly sanctuary. Yeah. So now Peter declare and decree that we are lively stones. You're alive.
Yeah.
So he's talking about the natural. He's talking about the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We're to no longer live the rest of our time in the flesh, but rather in the spirit. I got some paper for you. We're in Brother Peter. Let's go to the fourth chapter. I want you to see that. See, we'll teach people to live spiritually. Forget the flesh, people. I really want to go to 6, but I'm thinking about verses 2. So let me grab 2, then I'm going to grab 6. Or let me grab 6, verse 6, and then verse 2. But it says in 1 Peter 4, this is says 4, for this cause was the gospel preached to them that are dead, that they may be judged according to man in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. And that second verse says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of man, but to the will of God. Woo! Something like Paul.
Wow. Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, verse 6, listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, just as all people must, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. And verse 2, then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being chainized by what you want. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. See, you're dead to the law. That made way so you can live spiritually. And you don't be lived by the law. You don't be judged by the law. You're not condemned. People try to condemn you because they don't understand scripture. You're dead to that. You can't be judged to that or according to that. Because God made him who knew no sin to become your sin. So either Jesus your sin, so stop trying to put it on me. Stop trying to put it on this preacher or that person. Don't allow that. Christ took care of the sin issue, okay? Let me be clear with them.
Thank you, Lord.
Paul said in Galatians 2:19, for I through the law am made dead to the law, that I may live unto God, which is spiritual. Listen, dear heart. Over in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 7:3, he given an illustration. He said, I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live, but to live with Christ, man. He said, I've been crucified through the weakness that I may live according to the Spirit. We're living in the power. When you begin to live by faith, you begin to live by the power of God, brothers and sisters. Well, preacher, I live by faith. No, you don't. See, people think you're going to live. You're existing. And because you're existing and you claiming to live by faith, is not the indication that you live by faith. So that's why it's so important to understand the book of Hebrews. See, because most people think they're existing, and they're claiming God as a savior, and they say, I'm living by faith. Oh, my trust in God. You can't tell me. Yes, can. I can tell you if you love God or not. Because the only way the Bible says you know you love God, if you love his word, John 17.
All right.
See, this new commandment that we have requires us to act like God. Now, I know folks have a problem with that, and that's okay. Because at one time I was there, but I had to learn that I'm no longer in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. Even though you see the flesh, the real man is in the spirit.
Yeah.
And you have to see that. And you got to see yourself like that. Stop seeing yourself in the flesh and see yourself in the spirit. Seek those things above and not the things beneath. And you start by going to the heavenly sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, and the only way you can understand that is understand the book of Hebrews or what Israel did. You know what they did? They would go and they would get the blood of bulls and goats, and they would bring it to the priest. They weren't even allowed to go to the holiness of holiness.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
But they practiced theirs, but we won't practice ours. Ours is spiritual. But they want to stay in the flesh. They don't know old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The education have made a lot of folks crazy. I have people come on the broadcast and they get off because they're not happy with what is being said. Well, get mad at God. Don't get mad at me.
All right.
The Bible says, and I'm going to let you read this over here, and we're probably going to go back over this, but in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it says, the first verse, we'll read maybe the first, we'll just get to the first 5 verses because we want you to see this. I know we'll be able to really get into it today, but at least we'll be able to open some eyes with this, and hopefully a person will meditate on this and see what the Lord is really saying. Because you need to understand the sanctuary. You need to understand the covenant. You need to understand the church. You need to understand why God gave Moses this vision. Because for a day such as this. So he explaining to us about the sanctuary and God's covenant, God's agreement. He says, then verily the first covenant had also ordained of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. Now, underline that, a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlesticks and the table and the shewbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the Holy of All, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, the orlaid round about the golden within, was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that built and the table of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of the glory shattering of that which cannot now speak particularly.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. That first plan contained direction for worship and a specially designed place of worship. A large outer tent was set up. The lampstand, the table, and the bread of presence were placed in it. This was called the holy place. Then a curtain was stretched, and behind it, a smaller inside tent set up. This was called the Holy of Holies. In it were placed the gold censer altar and the gold cover ark of the covenant containing the gold urn of manna. And the gold cover ark of the covenant containing Oh, I read that. I'll read it again. Covenant containing the gold urn of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, the covenant tablet, and the angel wing shadowed mercy seat. But we don't have time to commit on these now. Amen.
And what this is about, you almost have to go back to the 8th chapter, because he's really explaining the covenant that he was going to make with the house of Israel after those days, after the day Christ comes. He says, I'm going to put my laws in their mind, and then put the laws, my laws in their heart. He says, and I'm going to be to them God, and they're going to be to me a people.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord,
Amen.
This is what you're going to do?
Yeah.
He says, but my sanctuary now is going to be in heaven, and they're going to have to seek me. They're going to have to find me in heaven. They ain't going to find me in the building that Moses made. They ain't going to find me there. That system is done with. He said, matter of fact, where they used to teach every man his neighbor, he said, and you know, his neighbor, his brother, whatever, he said, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. He said, they all gonna know me. He said, for I'm merciful to the unrighteous. And to this, he said, you know what? I'm not even going to remember their iniquities anymore. It's gone. Why? Why, Lord? Because in that day, there will be a new covenant.
Yeah.
He's going to make the first old and now which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. It's gone. That's gone.
Yeah.
When Christ appeared at the right-hand side, he took his blood, gave it to God, boom, the old covenant disappeared. It was, as far as God was concerned, there was no more old covenant. It's gone. It vanished.
Mm-hmm.
It was already decaying.
All right.
It was already decaying. Mm-hmm. And don't make me go there and show you. I wish you had time. But the temple worship, they started doing all kind of crazy stuff. It was decaying in. They were taking blood, mixing it. Priests were dying. High priests could no longer go to the holiness of hosts. It was already decaying. And then once Christ came and died, boom, God ripped the temple. Tore it down. Completely.
Right.
But I'm not going there today. Hallelujah. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're at a point now where anybody have anything to say? Well, let's go. Let's go. So happy that Evangelist Marilyn could join us, but she might have had something to do. I see somebody else dropped out, but it's all good. Hey, anybody else that's on here, would you like to have a comment? If so, press 1. And thank you so much, Pastor, for joining. Would you like to have any comments or anything you want to share? Because I know God always dealing with you on these scriptures. So anything?
Praise God. Amen. I just wanted to read that from the Message Bible about the new in Hebrews 8, chapter 8. I want to say it's about the, from the Message Bible, I want to say it might be starting with 9 through 13. Well, let me just read 6 through 13 because it just brings it all together instead of me picking out. But, yeah, I heard you talk about how this the new covenant, how it's written in our hearts now. So I'll just read that from the Message Bible, starting with the 6th verse. It says, but Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since he's working from a far better plan. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know the first was found wanting because God said, "Heads up, the days are coming when I'll set up a new plan for dealing with Israel and Judah. I'll throw out the old plan I set up with their ancestors when I led them by the hand out of Egypt. They didn't keep their part of the bargain, so I looked away and let it go. This new plan I'm making with Israel isn't going to be written on paper, isn't going to be chiseled in stone. This time I'm writing out the plan in them, carving it on the lining of their hearts. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. They won't go to school to learn about me or buy a book called God in 5 Easy Lessons. They'll all get to know me firsthand, the little and the big, the small and the great. They'll get to know me by being kindly forgiven, with the slate of their sins forever wiped clean. By coming up with a new plan, a new covenant between God and his people, God put the old plan on the shelf, and there it stays, gathering dust." Amen. And then, like you said, this has to be spiritual. This, we have to look at this spiritually.
Yeah, so thank you, Pastor, for reading that. Because, see, people, yeah, I don't know if they really getting it. But that's plain to me. God said, "I'm putting the old plan on the shelf." Isn't that how the Messenger Bible explained it?
Yes, amen.
Now,
amen.
Maybe y'all want another, maybe you want another version. Maybe we'll go to the Living Bible.
Okay.
As she find that, as she maybe, can you find that, Pastor?
I got it, Pastor.
Now, before she, I don't know what it says. I ain't read it, but let me tell you what this is, what it's really talking about. God ain't doing that no more. It's on the shelf. Going to church is on the shelf. God ain't doing that.
All right, now.
Same part of his plan. Back in the cage, it's over. Go ahead and accept it. Let it die.
Yeah.
Get it out of your heart. Get it out of your mind. See, and they still want to hang on to it. Well, we got to go to church. Got to go to this. God ain't told you that. At least he said that ain't what the word of God's saying here. He got a new plan.
Mm-hmm.
But go ahead, Pastor. You have that. Read it for us, please.
All right, Pastor. From the New Living Translation, Hebrews 8:6-13. "But now Jesus, our high priest, has given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, 'The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God. They will be my people, and they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord. For everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know me already, and I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. Amen.
This is brothers and sisters. Thank you so much, Pastor.
You're welcome, Pastor.
That has taken place already. Okay, it's obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
We are a spiritual house now. We have a spiritual priesthood now.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
God is making spiritual sacrifices for us now.
Yeah.
By Jesus. That's why we can be neighbors together.
Amen.
That's why you should see yourself as a spiritual building.
Yeah.
You know, you've been redeemed. And I saw something. I got to maybe go back and really find it. And it was in the ninth chapter. Might have been the ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews. And that 24th verse. The way I saw it, and before I really see it, I probably need to go back. But what I saw was this. Christ did not even enter into the church. He didn't go in there. Because he understood what the earthly sanctuary was about. Now, I know people tell you, well, you know, he stood up and he read. He sure did. But he was a high priest. He's supposed to go where the high priest went. He didn't do it. Because it was a copy. It was a copy of the true holiness. It was a copy of that true heavenly sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
So his place was to appear. His place was to appear in the heavenly sanctuary and to make atonement for us in the earthly tabernacle. But let me leave that alone for a while. But thank you, Pastor, so much. Anyone else? You still have time. If not, we're going to see you all tomorrow for the word at noon. Meanwhile, y'all stay blessed.